First of all, I just want to show you what they look like. These are the borers in Texas. We've got the sugarcane borer, and we got the rice stalk borer and the Mexican rice borer. The rice stalk borer isn't that common in Texas, so our two main rice pests are going to be sugarcane borer and Mexican rice borer. And the Mexican rice borer is assuming more and more, increasingly, a problem in our Texas rice belt. Okay, this is the early signs of damage. The first and second instar larvae of either the Mexican rice borer or the sugarcane borer, they will mine the inside of the rice sheath, and then you'll see this orange tan discoloration. And then usually the third instar will bore into the comb and then create the damage. So this is the early signs of damage. And then here's the typical whitehead here that's very characteristic in the field. And then also we're finding that not only do we see whiteheads, but there's also the grains are not filled as much. So there's an intergradation of damage all the way from no damage to these whiteheads. And that's regardless of stalk borer species in rice. Okay. The rice borer, the Mexican rice borer, was first detected in the Texas rice belt in Calhoun County, which is in the southernmost county of our rice belt, in 1988. And it's gradually moved up the Gulf Coast, and as I said before, it's become a serious pest of rice. And as of now, all of our counties in Texas are infested, our Texas rice belt counties, except for Orange County, which is just on the border of Louisiana. So the Sabine River separates Louisiana from Orange County, basically. In Orange County, it used to be a rice-producing county, but no longer. We have no rice in Orange County, and there's little agriculture. It's mainly pasture land for cattle. There's forests and swamps and marshes. So basically, there's no real apparent, as far as I can tell, no real apparent barrier between Texas and Louisiana, other than the Sabine River, and I don't consider that much of a barrier. So anyway, here's the movement of the rice borer. It has a large host range, and some other people will be talking about that today in the symposium. Many cultivated and weedy plants. Hurricanes, and we've had our share of them recently, but hurricanes and tropical storms may assist in the movement. Commerce, there's a lot of commerce that goes through southeast Texas into southwest Louisiana. So I'm not sure why the rice borer has not been detected in Louisiana yet. And we'll get into a little bit more of that. Okay, to put a picture to what I've been saying, this is the Texas rice belt. There's about 170,000 acres in 2008. We have a little bit of probably less than 5,000 acres in northeast Texas. But here's Calhoun County down here, and that's when the rice borer in 1988 was first detected in pheromone traps. And then it's gradually moved north and east towards Louisiana. And here's a closer picture of the rice belt. Here is Calhoun County, and you can see the movement of it based on the year. And as was mentioned before, it's moving at about 12 to 15 miles a year east. Houston is located right here, and it took a while for it to jump from or move from the western belt here across Houston into the what we call the eastern rice belt. Where I work is right here in Jefferson County, and Chambers in Jefferson County. Here's Orange County, and right here is the Sabine River, and then to the east of Louisiana, and probably within 30 miles of the border are rice fields in Louisiana as well as sugarcane fields. So as far as sugarcane, the only sugarcane that's produced in southeast Texas now is a small, it's an energy cane, about 80 acres of energy cane near the Beaumont Center. And that material is not going to be, it's going to be planted, replanted. And it will not be, there's a quarantine against sugarcane being moved into Louisiana because of the rice borer. And that's our only commercial sugarcane in southeast Texas. And that will, you know, that will stay put because the farmer is wanting to increase the acreage of the energy cane, and then also it's infested with Mexican rice borer. So I'm not sure. Here's some data from Chambers County. This is on the east side. If we go back here again, here's Chambers County, and these are data. You can see that in 2003 and prior, we didn't find any rice borers in pheromone traps. This is the number of Mexican rice borer in two pheromone traps. We had two traps out per county. And then in 2004, we found three. And then in 2005, it dramatically increased to almost 4,000. And the same situation is in Jefferson County, which is just one county farther to the east. And you can see in 2003 and 2004, you know, no borers picked up. 2005, we picked up two, and then another increase up to over 230 in 2006. So what this suggests, to me at least, is that there might be undetected, because of the number of pheromone traps that we have placed out, there might be undetected populations that are at a low incipient level that we're really not picking up in the pheromone traps, and then suddenly it gets to a point where we do start picking up the moths. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Orange County or even Louisiana at this point may have Mexican rice borer. I think it's just basically a matter of time. Okay, also what I wanted to talk about today is some pest management work that I'm pretty excited about that we just completed this year. And I hope I don't step on Dr. Stout's toes here. He might be talking a little bit about this also. But these are data that we collected in 2008. Dermacor X100 is a seed treatment for rice. The active ingredient is Rynaxypyr. It's a systemic compound, and it has a very good environmental profile. We did a seeding rate study. Basically, the label, we had a Section 18 last year for this product on about 4,000 acres. And the rate is based on milligrams AI per seed, okay? And so our seeding rate, we had a study, it was a split plot study with seeding rate at 30, 60, or 90 pounds. And of course, if you're going by milligrams AI per seed, the higher the seeding rate, the higher your pounds AI per acre. So we had our the main plots were seeding rate, and then the subplots were the Dermacor at these rates here. And then the Section 18 was actually for rice water weevil. But we were also looking for stock borer control. And you can see here, these are water weevil numbers, and I'm not going to get into that. But you can see that the Dermacor at this rate right here at 0.025 milligrams AI per pound and at 0.031 pounds AI per acre provided pretty good control of, excellent control of water weevil, and then pretty good control of stem borers. This is the number of whiteheads caused by a combination of Mexican rice borer and sugarcane borer in those plots. And so you can see we had 22 in those plots, and then there was a good decrease here. And you can also see there's a nice yield response. And that would be due to both the water weevil and the stock borers. Okay, this is the 60 pound seeding rate. Very similar information here. The 0.025 and 0.05 rates, you can see did a very good control on our whiteheads. And that's the number of whiteheads in four rows, and the plots were 16 feet long. So it's, and this is at Beaumont in Jefferson County. Okay, then here's the 90 pound rate, and you can see basically the same trend here. Okay, if we look at the analysis, basically what I want to show here is that regardless of seeding rate, our yields were about the same. The average yields in Texas are about 7,000 to 7,500 pounds an acre. So these are good yields. Okay, if we look at the subplot effects, let's go over here to the whiteheads, and you can see the untreated at 16, and then no significant difference as far as the number of whiteheads, regardless of seeding rate here. And then, as you can see, a nice yield response compared to the untreated. And then, so the conclusions, the Dermacor X100 provided excellent control of water weevil, And then as a secondary benefit, we were seeing good control of stock borers. And this is rather surprising to me because this is the activity of the compound as a seed treatment would be about 6 to 8 weeks after planting. So this is fairly surprising to me. Also, less than 0.031 pounds AI per acre compromised water weevil control. And if we go back and look at those data, if we go as high as 0.06, if we go lower than that, then we're compromising some of the stock borer control. So we're going for a Section 18 for 2009 using that rate. It will be for water weevil, but there will be an extra added benefit for stock borers. Here's the yield increase by rate, and you can see it's all between 700 and 800 pounds an acre, and this would be a combination of both water weevil and stock borer. Okay, we also did a similar, it wasn't a seeding rate experiment, we did an experiment with Cocodrie and XL723 at Ganado, which is in Jackson County, which is at the far end of the rice belt where we have very high populations of stock borers. And this test we had approximately 70% Mexican rice borer and the rest sugarcane borer. And Cocodrie is a conventional semi-dwarf variety and XL723 is a hybrid. And so you can see the rates here, 0.025, 0.05, and 0.1 for both the Cocodrie and the XL723. And here is our standard control with lambda-cyhalothrin. And here's our untreated. This is the number of whiteheads. So if we look at Cocodrie, 28 whiteheads per plot versus what you see here with 5, 4, and 0. It looks like a little rate response there depending on rate. The XL723, typically the hybrids do not show as much whiteheads display or exhibit as much whiteheads compared to the inbreds, but we saw 7 and 2 and a 0 compared to 10 in the untreated. And you can see the nice yield responses here. For instance, the Cocodrie Dermacore 0.025, 6,800 pounds an acre. If we look down here at the Cocodrie untreated, 5,800. If we look at the Dermacore, the 0.05, because this is a lower seeding rate, 0.05, we have 8,400 pounds an acre versus 7,000. So very nice yield. And this is strictly stem borer control. We applied a blanket application of lambda-cyhalothrin before. We term it pre-flood, and that controls the water weevil, but it's applied early enough that it doesn't control the stock borer. So this is basically stock borer. And you can see the very nice yield response here at this rate, over 1,000 pounds per acre. And as I mentioned before, the average yields in Texas are about 7,000 to 7,500 pounds an acre. The XL723, even a greater yield response. So the point 1 milligram AI per seed, we found no whiteheads in the Cocodrie or the XL723. The XL723, because of this high yield loss, is susceptible to stem borers, even though we found few whiteheads. And I think that's one of the, that kind of confirms, and we have data to show this previously also, but it confirms with the hybrids that there's other damage besides whiteheads due to stock borers. As I said before, I think the panicles, they don't fill out as much. Okay, and then also am I running out of time? Okay, I'll quickly go through this. This was another experiment at Ganado where we were simply looking at the degree of damage, the level of damage due to these stock borers. And basically we treated the main crop or the ratoon crop, all those, the four combinations, and then looked at yield and also whiteheads. If we look down here, this is a take-home message. On the main crop, we were losing, in this particular experiment with XL723, we lost 1,700 pounds an acre due to the stock borers. And on the ratoon crop, another 500, even though this wasn't significant, but another 500. The farmers see that and they say, yeah, that's significant. Okay, and then we did the same study with Cocodrie, and you can see similar results. So the main crop, 1,000 pound per acre loss, and the ratoon crop, another 500 some odd pounds. So So yeah, this shows, you know, that the stock borers are a serious pest in rice, and could be and is coming to Louisiana. Eventually they'll be there, and you'll have to deal with the sugar cane plus the rice. So that's it.
Any questions? We have more than 2 minutes for question.
Roger?
Do you have an idea of the species composition between those
two? Yeah, the question was, what was the species composition in these tests? It was basically about 70% Mexican rice borer and 30% sugarcane borer. In the past, that percentage has been increasing in favor of Mexican rice borer. So
what's the reason, can be?
That's a good question. We are increasing our ratoon acreage, and that might favor the rice borer over the sugarcane borer. So now about 40% of our rice is ratoon crop, so that extends the growing season from March until basically the end of October. So that's one reason. And then also I think the populations are just gradually increasing. The varieties that we plant are all susceptible, you know, to the borers. We used to feel that the hybrids weren't susceptible, but based on our recent data, they're as susceptible, if not more. So, I'm not sure the reasons. I know Julian will be speaking here about some of the weed hosts and tremendous populations in the weed hosts.